Hey, listeners, are you getting inspired to dive deeper into your learning of EFFT? If so, head on over to Catherine's website to check out her list of upcoming trainings. Some trainings are focused on combining EFFT with young kids and EFFT play therapy. So head on over to her website and we hope to see you in the future. Check it out at katherinedebruin.com, katherinedebruin.com, and we hope to see you in the future.
Welcome to the Family Express podcast, where our destination is resilient and connected families. Come aboard with your hosts, marriage and family therapists, Katherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans, to explore the world of emotionally focused family therapy, a model developed by Sue Johnson and colleagues. Together with our guest speakers, our travels will map the EFFT landscape, highlighting lessons learned, shared fears, and the passion and curiosity that bonds our community.
Welcome back to the Family Express podcast with Katherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans. We have a lovely conversation in store for you all today, and we're hoping to find ways to introduce a topic, language and comfort level, a topic around masculine energy, feminine energy. Our guest today is Sean Davis, PhD out of Northern California, licensed marriage and family therapist, professor. Sean, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you so much, Sean, for joining us. Thank you. Thank you. So our listeners can get a chance to kind of get to know you. Would you give us a little bit of background about who you are and professionally and maybe a little bit of personally and what your passion is recently in working with clients?
Sure. I am a, like you said, a marriage and family therapist. I've been licensed or been practicing for 25 years, roughly. And I'm a professor of marriage and family therapy in Alliant International University's MFT program, CFT program, up in Sacramento. Own a large group practice here in the area as well. So I kind of balance between teaching and practicing. And I do a lot of writing as well. Some of your listeners might have read some of my textbooks in grad school that they're trying to forget. And personally, yeah, I've been married for 27 years, have four kids that are mostly all have left the nest at this point. We have one still at home, so we're transitioning into that phase of life, which is fun.
Sean, it's truly such an honor to have you here. Thank you for all the work that you've done in the world. I know you as a lifelong learner, researcher, writer, and we get to ask you today, like, what is a topic that's really fascinating you at the moment when it comes to families and family functioning?
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited to be able to talk about this. The thing that I have been really excited about and learning a lot about lately is masculine and feminine energy. I had a couple of things happen about a year and a half ago. A student brought it up to me and they said, hey, I'm really interested in this, but we never talked about it. And around the same time, a couple of my clients started talking about it as well. And so anytime that happens in my life, I try to kind of think of it as like, okay, I need to pay attention to this. And so I dove in a little more. And I have just been having such a fun, fascinating journey with these concepts. And definitely think it's something that as a field, we could get a lot of value in discussing more.
Wow. Masculine and feminine energy. Whew, maybe we have to talk a little more about what that even is, because even as you bring up these topics, it's definitely something I think about a lot, but it also feels like a scary arena to go into around, you know, gender roles and, how to think about this.
Yes, I agree. And I know exactly what you meant. And I think that's what you mean. I think that's part of why I haven't dove into it much. I didn't dive into it much as well, because it is so Discussing gender can be very difficult, but this is not discussing gender. It's discussing masculine and feminine energy, which can exist sort of in either gender, both genders, neither, you know, no matter how anyone identifies, it can exist. These energies exist, and a person can embody either of them to different degrees. And I really think that people have perhaps more of a natural inclination towards one or the other. And if they get out of sync with it, it can really cause problems. But if they're given permission to get back aligned with it, a lot of things in my experience so far really fall into place. And I can talk about that. But it's not a gender thing. It's an energy thing.
That sounds fascinating. And it sounds like it could really play into who we are, into our identity, and into us just being more congruent in terms of who we are. But could you define it for us? Like, what are the two things?
Sure. The way I think of it is, when I think of masculine energy, I think of sort of a protector, a provider, someone whose job is to sort of kind of, it's protecting, it's watching over the flock, keeping their people safe, that type of thing. Safe from danger, ensuring that their needs are met, that type of thing. Their maybe more physical or temporal needs. Being an example of strength, that type of thing, as a masculine energy, a feminine energy, being more sort of the softer, the nurturing, the caretaking, the warmth, the proverbial sort of shoulder to cry on.
Comfort.
Yes. Yeah. Comfort. And those, of course, do tend to stereotypically get farmed out to in a binary concept to male and female genders, but they don't have to be. If someone doesn't identify with either gender, they can still, of course, occupy and both either or both energies, or male and female individuals can occupy both energies. In fact, in my opinion, sort of a well-rounded person, the ideal is to be really comfortable going back and forth between the two energies as the situation requires. And I think people get stuck when they are only really good at one part of it, or the way they hold that energy is sort of a bit a perversion or an exaggeration or like a it's dysfunctional.
That's really interesting how you say it sounds like maybe somewhere along the line through the ages these energies got sort of projected onto one gender or another. And yet, when you first gave that example of protecting or looking out over the land, or it gave me this idea of even indigenous cultures. I know you've done a fair amount of work with indigenous cultures. Can you give an example of how you have learned about this in some of the cultures you've studied?
Yes. Yeah. My dad was an archaeologist. And so I grew up living with, neck deep in indigenous cultures. And it's still a big part of my life and what I value. And I take students, anyone really who wants to come, who's a therapist, a few times a year on an indigenous healing trip into rural Mexico. And we go to one of the locations where the Toltec tribe their warriors would journey from the south of Mexico to the north. Their young boys on the way to becoming a warrior. And they would make different stops along the way to learn different lessons that you needed to be a warrior. And we go to this little village where they would stop and perform a series of rituals. And we go through the same rituals. But the reason they stopped there was to learn and to fill themselves with feminine energy. And the thinking was, you could not be a complete warrior if you were only masculine, right? You think of warrior and you think of masculine energy. But their thinking was, no, you can't be a complete warrior unless you have balanced this also with feminine energy, and you're able to hold both of those equally. And I think that's really, really fascinating. The strength to protect balanced equally with the desire and the ability to nurture and care.
I love that, Sean. What comes to mind for me is like the word harmony, and that to be able to be a human, it requires some harmony and flexibility to be able to go back and forth between these two energies, recognizing that they each have their own time and space.
Yeah.
And so, like, I know for myself, growing up with lots of feminine energy myself, and then wanting to get pregnant and trying to get pregnant, which was for me a very feminine experience, right?
Like, sure.
A lot of my female parts were involved. And then as a mother, my protector energy just like arrived, and just everything I needed to do to protect my body, to be able to create a baby and keep a baby, and bring a baby into the world and now raise a baby. And that baby happens to be a boy. He identifies as a boy. But my protector energy came in that process. And so I just think about the harmony of that.
Yeah. And it's a natural thing. You don't have to learn it or convince yourself of it. It just naturally is there. And I have found so much value with my clients. I've gotten so much mileage with them lately around this concept, with some of them, not all of them, but with a lot of them, I really have. It's been fun.
Can you give us an example, Sean, of how you might bring this into a family conversation?
Sure. Yeah. A client came in for his wife wanted him to come in because he was too angry, too mean to the kids. And he was a good guy. He's like, okay, yeah, fair enough, I'll go in. And so he came in. He wasn't fully on board, but he sort of was. And so we were doing some work. I was trying to help him learn some different parenting approaches, different discipline techniques, etc. And we were sort of making progress, but not really. And I thought of this concept of masculinity, and I thought he was a very successful man in a lot of ways. And I thought most men, in my experience, male identifying folks really want to be leaders. Like it's kind of the masculine energy, I should say. The masculine energy is wanting to be a leader. It's in that energy. And so I said to him, I timed it. I didn't make it a big point. I just made it a little, almost like a throwaway line to plant in his head. He was talking about how he was trying really hard to get his kids to listen to him. And I said, you know what we need to do is you just need to reestablish yourself as the emotional leader of the home. And I said it almost in passing, but I said it in a way that I knew would land with him. And I said, you need to reestablish yourself as the emotional leader, implying that he wasn't, which he wasn't. It's like, you need to be reestablish as the emotional leader. And I said that, and his eyes got big, and he sat back, and he like turned and looked at the wall. And then we kept going. I thought if we make this the focus, he'll argue with it. So we kept going about other stuff. But I could see it chewing in his head. And at the end of the session, he's like, Kevin, we're thinking about what you said about that emotional leader thing. I do need to be a better leader. I'm like, oh, yeah, tell what does that look like? What does that mean to you? And he said, what that means to me is if the family needs to be more patient, I need to be the most patient person at home. If the family needs to be more loving, I need to make sure that I'm the most loving. Basically, I set the emotional tone. I'm like, you really do. I said, that's great. And he came back the next week. Things were completely different. His wife reached out to me. He's like, I don't know what you did with him, but he's like a different person. So it was just giving him permission to step into that masculine role that he had gotten disconnected from, that leadership role where, look, it's not about you, Dad, and your feeling. It's about you and being strong for the family. I find in particular with men, there has been a lot of messaging around what you should not be. Don't be like this. Don't be like that. This is toxic. This is wrong. This is bad. There's not been a whole lot of messaging about what you should be. And so I think a lot of men are really kind of confused about how to show up. I want to be a good person. What does that mean? And so giving them permission to just sort of tap back into that masculine energy, for me, I find it's crazy how fast things move. I have I could talk for hours about stories from clients recently that have really shifted with that. It's fun.
What a rich story. Thank you so much for sharing that experience. And gosh, you sound a little strategic in your work.
Very strategic, yes.
I love the way you handled that therapeutically, teasing almost a little bit, but also just tapping into something that you're saying is natural, right? Whether we're tapping into attachment that we just know is right there, it's innate, or whether that we're tapping into this energy in terms of identity, when it's right, when it feels right, people can step into their own. We don't have to make it happen. So what a fabulous story about just starting to introduce this. If we know that it's there, we can look for it and help people really step into who they are in a natural way.
Yes. Yeah. To me, it's also related to attachment in terms of these energies exist, I think, for the nurturing and caretaking of offspring, you know, of your children. Getting people sort of aligned with where they are feeling the most, and giving them permission to be in that space in a healthy way, is all about creating an environment of secure attachment.
That's so interesting what you're saying. I'm having a personal reflection. Like, Rhonda, when you were talking about, you know, feeling in your feminine energy around Isaac's birth, and then later feeling your masculine energy around protection and leadership. And Sean, you're right, when it comes to attachment, like we often think, even as attachment, we often think about all the warm and cuddly stuff, but we suddenly think about, hold on, there's also structure and there's a truth telling and that kind of energy, right? We often leave that out. But we just moved to a different state, and I've got my three teenagers, and I'm finding myself literally in the last 10 days being a different kind of parent. And what's happening is, I think that where we lived before, the children weren't super integrated into their community. And I think I felt sorry for them. I think they were a little lonely and they weren't as connected socially. And I was always caretaking a lot and like doing everything for them. But it's also really important for me to train them up so that if they do leave one day, they'll be able to, you know, run a household themselves. And I found that in the last 10 days, they're more integrated here. They've made friends. They're running around the neighborhood. By golly, when they come home, I am like, okay, we need to do these chores. I've been like so much more tough on them, because it feels like they're balanced with having fun elsewhere. I'm no longer feeling guilty as a mom because I'm not constantly sitting and entertaining them and playing games. Like, on one hand, I know that shouldn't really be my role, but I'm finding that I'm shifting as a parent, and maybe it's this energy thing. It's just super interesting to me.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Like, they're getting that, some of those needs met elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, getting those needs met, those needs for social connection, peer interaction, belongingness from their own peer group, And then they come back to you in the nest, and then you are able to, and again, it just shows up when it needs to, right? Like it's like innate, that structure. And there was another word I was thinking of that now I already forgot, but that structure and kind of firmness, if you want to call it that, making sure that you now give them that, right? There's lots of freedom in play. There's lots of freedom in play. And then when they...
Like a leadership, like a...
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The leader.
To me, another thing that illustrates your story, Catherine, is that this energy can fluctuate within the same person, right? Like, you're still Catherine, but it's single parent, for example. We all know single dads, like male identifying parents, who are very warm and nurturing while also being very strong and, providing. Then we also, and conversely, female identifying parents who are very nurturing and all of that, but also really get stuff done in terms of their work, their career, providing. And we also know people who don't identify with either gender who balance both of them pretty well. So it's, to me, the main issue here is just give yourself permission to develop the parts of you that are maybe underdeveloped with that stuff.
Give yourself permission to develop all these parts of you. And Sean, as we just have a couple of minutes here, how do we make this practical in a family session? Like, what are the words? How do you bring up this topic with a single parent, with a parent, with a family?
Yeah. So I kind of take the temperature of the family themselves. Some families I don't bring it up with at all. It seems like it's not really going to land with them. But I have a lot of clients who it does seem like it will land with them. And I just ask them, I will say, usually to the parents, how, if both mom and dad are there, I will say, how comfortable are you guys with the division of the masculine and feminine energy between the two of you? Are you happy with who is in the masculine role and who is in more of the feminine role? Do you find yourself adopting a role that you would rather the other one adopted? Stuff like that. I put it back to them. And if I get it right, meaning they are interested in this stuff, they latch onto it immediately. No, absolutely not. I wish he would step up way more than he is. I'm sick of doing this. And he's like, well, I would like to, but you never let me. You know, then it becomes a really interesting conversation about how now do they show up. If the shift were to be made that they each said they want, what does that look like practically? What does this mean? And then you just have a discussion around that. With people where this doesn't seem to be as interesting, I don't use the same words, masculine and feminine, but I can talk about the same concepts. Like, okay, how do you decide who is the leader here with this? How do you decide who does what? You just have a discussion about roles. And are they happy with what those roles are? Does it seem like a natural fit to them? Is it in alignment with what you view as your strengths and the things that you would like to be doing?
And so then, Sean, I think I'm curious, as you're saying that, this is something that could also be brought up with a same-sex parenting couple, mm-hmm. being couple, a gay couple. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be a mom and dad. It could be a same-sex couple, and you're asking about how comfortable are they with these masculine and feminine energies and how those energies are currently showing up in each of them and then thus in the family?
Yes, absolutely. And in some ways, because there aren't the social norms that sort of prescribe that for a same-sex couple, you might have that discussion. A lot of them, in my experience that I've worked with, have had the discussion a little bit already, but because of that, but if they haven't, or even if they have, it can be clarified. they really can benefit from that discussion. Like, okay, who do you want embodying this role energy? Who do you want embodying this energy? And even amongst them, usually there's one that they kind of naturally gravitate more to one than the other. And it just, it just feels like it helps people fit together, right? With their natural inclinations.
I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about how leadership for me showed up and kind of came online, you know, again, without really it trying, it just kind of showed up. But one of the things that was really interesting to me, I guess two things, is when Catherine told me, Rhonda, you're a leader. And I was like, I had no idea what she was talking about. I had never seen myself that way. And so I spent the next year kind of just like marinating on this idea of me as a leader with that word, a word I had never used to describe myself. And like, if she sees me that way, how do others see me that way? And I really need to consider that. But the second thing I was thinking about was advocacy, and to be able to advocate for myself or for my child, I have to have a voice that says it's okay. It's acceptable to voice something and to speak up and to question and to ask for needs to be met. And to be able to do that, I had to really kind of step into, which language I didn't have at the time, but like step into this idea of advocacy is good and advocacy is a good thing as a parent. It's a good thing as an individual for myself. And in essence, to me, advocacy and leader kind of are kind of sitting side by side right now as I have this conversation with the two of you, recognizing I didn't have a voice for a lot of years. I had to give myself a lot of permission to build that for myself and get comfortable with that. And then, of course, be able to advocate and voice things in a balanced way without sounding too pushy.
Yes. Yeah. To step into that more masculine role when it's needed. Yeah. It reminds me of a client I had. She had gone through a lot of abuse as a kid. Her parents had not really, they were the ones doing the abusing, honestly. And so she learned early on, if anyone's going to take care of me, it's going to be me. And that's pretty much it. And so she was very, very, very heavily into the masculine energy of like protecting herself, providing, but because it was informed by this trauma, it was an exaggerated masculine, like it was a fear-based masculinity. And she married, her husband was kind of on average with masculinity. He owned a business. Like in his personal life, he was very strong, very powerful, got a lot of stuff done, good with the masculine energy. But when he came home, she was so strong with it, and it was so fear-based. He withered. He just sort of shrunk, and he became very kind of passive and ineffectual at home. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of even EFT stuff trying to get that to shift, and it wouldn't shift. And it finally shifted when I said, we'd started talking about the energy. I'm like, you have a very strong masculine energy, which she acknowledged, she agreed. And I'm like, do you like that? Does this sit naturally with you? And she says, no, I would like nothing more than to let this go, to let myself be taken care of, to let someone else take the wheel, to just have a little break. But I'm terrified. That's never, ever worked for me.
Right.
And then, of course, it segues into this very lovely EFT discussion, but we used... it was the masculinity the energies that allowed her to, that she fought that way. She knew exactly what I was talking about. No, I would love to set this energy down. I wish he would take it. And he says, of course, I would love to take it. Every time I try, you annihilate me.
Right. It's so scary for her.
Yeah.
One part of her, you know, has had to do that, has had to have that energy and that approach. And another part of her so desperately longs to be taken care of and to lean into that risk. That's super scary because there's a let go, right? There's a surrendering and kind of being able to be taken care of that is not not natural in the sense that that's not been her experience.
Yes.
Till then.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It gave him a verbal framework to think about it that really resonated. So,
yeah.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for a very fascinating discussion. Thank you for your research and for your work and your just continued interest in understanding humans and relationships and families and helping them to function in all of that they can be. And I think this is really giving me a lot to think about in terms of masculine and feminine energy, and then thinking of families and is this energy balanced and is it allowed? And if not, where did it get blocked around attachment experiences, relational, contextual experiences growing up where certain needs were okay, certain needs were not okay. And so thanks for some practical ways of just bringing up these questions to actual clients and furthering the discussion in the families that we work with. Really, really appreciate your time and your brain and your heart. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for humoring my little wild hair that I've had lately. That has been really interesting to me. I know it's potentially a risky discussion, so I appreciate you opening your platform to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, finding ways to have, you know, interesting, potentially risky conversations is part of what we help our families do. Right. And we kind of help, we help families bring it up. We help families stumble through it and kind of course correct and get their balance as they're having those conversations. And I just love that with Catherine and I, one of our values is exactly that, is we're willing to kind of lean into risk because I think there's a benefit, right? I think there's always some kind of interesting benefit that can come from it. So appreciate you bringing up your wild hair.
Thank you
so much, John. Thank you so much. And we'll wish you a good day. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
That's it for today, folks. Thank you for listening. And we hope to see you again for our next journey.